You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Ahoy, awesome alliance of alert and adorable audio attendees. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 259, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your golden gold beaters, gold sizing gold bricks while playing golden eye and eating goldfish.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris.
I do, in fact, love some goldfish.
Are there pumpkin spice goldfish? Is it season for that?
Oh, there is goldfish limited edition Dunkin' pumpkin spice grams.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
The side business of the graham cracker, right?
Right, yeah.
So I was looking at my notes from a previous show. I don't even know how long ago was this. This was episode 25. I was looking.
Oh my gosh.
Have you ever like read through your notes and it reads like a crazy person?
Right. Do you remember? I mean, when we used to record in person, y'all remember? Like, I would have like those like long like reporters' notebooks, and I would do. Yeah. I can't even imagine this life that I had like prior to having a child, where I had time to write things out longhand.
Yeah.
So I still have those journals. There's a stack of like, I don't know, five or six of them, and it does. It reads like some trivia addled person.
Tinfoil hat manifesto.
Yeah.
If you left that journal lying around, you'd end up like on a watch list.
It's so funny. Well, because for me, I learned by writing down, right? Yeah. So I remember when we used to, you know, let's not brag, the NorCal trivia championships, you know, when I study, I would just write things down, and that's kind of my way of retaining things. Here, let me share some trivia I found in these notes. Maybe we'll remember some of these. Here we go. What is the longest word in the English language with only one vowel repeated?
With only one vowel.
God, this is so specific.
Mississippi.
Strengthlessness.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So repeated. Okay.
Strengthlessnesses.
Nice.
Strengthlessness.
I was going to say, I remember learning once that strengths is the longest word with just one vowel.
Yeah. I think in that episode, I also did like a before and after mashup quiz, like a word sandwich quiz. And then here's one of the questions. Who lives deep in the 100-acre woods who also enjoys Asian appetizers?
Is that Winnie the Pooh Pooh Platter?
Yeah. so dumb.
That's so dumb. You guys, I have a new world record to report. My duty. It also happens to be an update to a previous segment on Good Job Brain. Just this past week, word came out of South Carolina that a new world's hottest pepper has been unleashed upon us. It is it is a new pepper dropped. It is called Pepper X. It is branded. Pepper X is a registered trademark. It's not messing around. It is called Pepper X, and it is as much as three times hotter than the previous world record holder, the Carolina Reaper.
Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Because they can.
Because you can. That's exactly right. Because you can. Because you'll get a Guinness record or two. So Pepper X measures on average nearly 2.7 million Scoville heat units. So for comparison, a jalapeno is going to check in 2,000, maybe up to 8,000.
Oh, wow.
SHUs. Habanero going to get you into the, you know, couple hundred thousand, few hundred thousand scale. Right. So Pepper X is 2.7 million Scoville heat units. I said that the news was out of South Carolina, but really it came to most of us via America's number one source for current events coverage, which is the YouTube show Hot Ones, where, yeah, Ed Curry appeared on Hot Ones to receive his Guinness record to plug Pepper X. Ed Curry founded his little mini Pepper empire. He and his team at Pucker Butt Pepper Company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Fort Mill, South Carolina. They also invented I'm trying to keep it straight here. Also invented the Carolina Reaper. So they've got the first and the second hottest peppers like under their belt. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. I thought this was something where like the Carolina Reaper grew itself. You know what I mean? And then we have man coming and playing God, trying to outgrow nature.
These are all engineered.
They're all engineered.
But like I was reading the story, mm-hmm. It's like I had no idea just the level of intrigue at play in the high stakes world of hot pepper. So Ed Curry, like he said two things. One, he said that they basically had Pepper X kind of ready to go for like 10 years. He said they've been developing
this. This is like the Donkey Kong guy.
I was just thinking that.
You just break the record by as much as you have to. He said he had expected, it sounds like, someone else to come along and challenge the Carolina Reaper. And he was kind of like, well, if no one else is going to do it, I'm just going to raise the bar myself. And so I'm going to unveil Pepper X on the world. Yeah. And he also further, he kind of implies that he's got some other, you know, even hotter stuff ready in the wings here. So let's hear from the creator himself, shall we? Talking to the Associated Press, Ed Curry described the heat of Pepper X as, quote, immediate and brutal. He said, I was feeling the heat for 3.5 hours. Then the cramps, came. The cramps were horrible. He was laid out flat, just groaning in pain. I want to remind you, this is all by way of praise, right? This is the proud creator talking up. Yeah, this is not a complaint at all. It's not for me at that point, that level of hot sauce.
It's not. Oh, no, that's not for you. That's not your thing. The cramps. I eat a spicy McChicken and halfway through, I'm like, damn, I should have got a regular McChicken.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty unassuming pepper. Some of them are scary looking, but I feel like a lot of these peppers, they never look as intimidating as the names are.
No, I think they look really scary. So yeah. I have like I said, I have plant seed catalog, like heirloom seed catalogs. Peppers is a big chapter, right? It's like all available peppers that you can buy the seeds and plant yourself. The hot peppers, the skin looks like it's blistering.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The really hot peppers look weird.
So I learned something interesting reading about Pepper X. So it is in fact Pepper X, very wrinkly. It's not big. It's small, pretty round. It's like two-tone. It's like yellow green. It is super wrinkly. They say that the hottest concentration in a pepper is not in the seeds as a lot of people think, but it's in the fleshy part that binds the seeds. And the wrinklier the pepper, like the more folds and room it has to kind of grow that sort of the fleshy part that really holds all the capsaicinoids in there, which is what gives it its heat. Yeah. So that is partly, I guess, what contributes to why it is so hot. It is a crossbreed, it sounds like, with the Carolina Reaper and another unnamed pepper. You know, you got to protect your methods. But yeah, so new hottest pepper, if this shows up in trivia, it is no longer the Carolina Reaper. It is now Pepper X.
Pepper X. Just so you know, I am actually developing an even hotter pepper than that, so I'm going to release that really soon. That's through my company, Volcanic A-Hole Peppers LLC, so look for that on the market.
Do you think he would have some sort of contract with the military?
I read along the chart of like, you know, where various peppers fall, I read that Pepper X has higher Scoville rating than bear spray. So like you would like, you know, like you'd be, I mean, maybe not in every way, but in some ways you might be through the ordeal faster getting sprayed with bear spray than eating pepper. Yeah.
All right. Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
I do have something to do because I have to say that it's for right now, the rooster is dead. My iconic barnyard buzzer rooster. It had a battery leak. I'm gonna try to salvage it, and I'm gonna try to get it back to life. But right now, the rooster is dead. We do have a substitute pinch hitter has come in though, so listen out for that.
Oh, listeners, we don't know. Is it? It's family friendly, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, just wanted to double check.
One of those X-rated trivia buzzers.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I have a random Trivial Pursuit card here. You guys have your barnyard buzzers or barnyard buzzer substitute ready. Here we go. Let's answer some questions. Blue Edge for geography. The active volcano, excuse my pronunciation, the active volcano Popocatépetl. The active volcano Popocatépetl is located about 40 miles from which capital city? Colin.
Mexico City.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Yep.
TL together is usually.
Yes. Yeah.
You got it.
Dead giveaway.
You got it.
Pink Wedge for pop culture. Which pop star started the halftime show of the 2015 Super Bowl atop a 14 foot tall, 24 foot long robotic lion?
Oh,
it's related to a song.
Yeah. Oh, I'm pretty sure I know this.
Colin,
I think was 2015. Was that Katy Perry? Was that Left Shark year? Wow. How far we've come.
People are like, oh, I'm going to remember this robot lion. This is going to be the meme that comes out of this.
Yeah. If there's one animal from this show that people will be talking about.
Next question, Yellow Edge. What milestone number of monthly users did Facebook reach on October 4th, 2012?
2012? No.
Colin.
I was going to say a million, but that can't be right.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Chris, do you want to just buzz so we... pretty good.
I am buzzing in though. 100 okay, yes. million.
1 billion.
Oh my god.
1 billion back in 2012.
Wow.
What is it now? Monthly users. 3 billion.
Mm. Oh my
3 billion
gosh.
Now. Yeah.
Which is like half the planet, right? I mean, more or less.
Roughly.
Wow. All right, next question. Purple Wedge, which Broadway rap musical is set in a Dominican American neighborhood in New York City? Chris.
In the Heights, baby.
In the Heights, correct.
Yes.
Green Wedge for science. Which mobile app started out under the name Peekaboo? P-I-C-A. B-O-O. So not kid peekaboo, pickaboo, P-I-C-A-B-O-O. Colin.
Is that Snapchat or Snap?
Yes, which
I was just thinking
sense.
They got the ghost icon, right?
Peekaboo.
That's it.
Okay, all right. All right.
I kind of wish they went with that. Mm. I don't know. Peekaboo.
It's one of those names though, Karen, right? Like where you, like as you just did, any name where you have to immediately spell it for the person, like I feel like that's a failure.
True.
Peekaboo,
that's
like P-I-C, get it, you know? And it's like, yeah, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Good point. All right, last question, Orange Wedge. Which Seattle Seahawk football player was voted by users to appear on the cover of the video game Madden NFL 15?
Jeez.
Oh.
Colin?
I'm going to guess Marshawn Lynch.
I believe this person is a Stanford grad. Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman says, yeah. Cam Newton was the runner-up in the 16-player bracket. Cool. Good job, brains. So today's episode, you guys know that I'm a big fan of Animaniacs. Chris, we actually saw the cast live once a few years ago. And one of my life's greatest achievements was that as a kid, I memorized the country song where, you know, Yakko lists out every country. But that was back in 1993. And now 30 years later, things have changed. Countries have been renamed. New countries have been created, with the newest and the youngest country being South Sudan back in 2011. And so I was looking into this, and the establishment of South Sudan also created a lot of newest and youngest country-related trivia, including the world's newest or youngest currency, which is the South Sudanese pound.
Oh.
So that got us thinking about money, big money, coins and notes, currency of the world. So for today's episode, we're heading to the currency exchange.
All right, great. I love it.
I love money.
But you know, I fancy myself a bit of a numismatist myself. I used to collect coins when I was a kid. So I mean, it's the perfect thing to nerd out about, right? As a collector, like, you know,
First
of all, you can get your collection started immediately with what's That's in true. Your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you might find on the street, but then it really appeals to the nerdy child that I was, because it's like, oh, this, you know, this is the year that it was made, right on the coin right there. And then this is the mint mark, and it shows you where it was made. One of those things that it generates its own trivia, right?
Yeah.
You know, United States coins, world coins, they're real pieces of art, gorgeous portraits that are on them or graved into them. So I've got a quiz for you guys about large currency, either in terms of size or denomination. So, well, here's the big money currency quiz.
All right.
So I want you each to get a writing implement and something to write on, because this is going to be a write-down quiz. Some of these are going to be just write down an answer. Some of them are going to be, you got to get it exact. Some of these are going to be closest to the pin. Nobody's going to be using their buzzers, and nobody has to hear from my friend, the shrilling chicken, for this segment only. All right. Are you ready? Question number one. What is the largest denomination legal tender coin that the U.S. Mint currently issues?
I feel like this is a trick, but I'm just going to go with my...
Not really. I'm just wondering.
I don't know. This is in my head. This is not on you. Yeah.
As of 2023, you know, you can buy from the Mint. Let me just be clear. These are not coins that are meant to be like used and put into circulation.
It's like more collectible. Like
collectors, investors, right, yeah.
So I thought legal tender, I thought meant like, you know, circulation.
No, they're legal tender. I mean, no, you can use that if you want to.
You could
absolutely go spend it. It is United States legal tender. They're designed for that. Well, the thing is, the actual value of the precious metal is significantly higher than the amount that's struck on the coin. So you could spend it, but you would be a fool to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Answers all right. up. Answers okay. up. Right. What do y'all right. think? Karen says 100. Colin says $1. Karen is correct.
Wow.
The U.S. Mint currently issues up to a maximum of, you know, $100 denomination platinum coins that are specifically like for collectors, investors, basically.
Wow. How big is it? Do you know?
They could be different sizes depending on, because it's all like these special edition kind of things.
It's not like a pancake.
So, yeah. No. It would be something you could fit in your pocket. So let's jump to question number two. What is the largest denomination paper currency that the United States currently issues?
Ooh.
Largest denomination of paper currency that the United States currently issues. Like, as of 2023, they still make them, and you can obtain them.
Side question for newsmaticness, for the hobby of collecting.
Yes.
Is it just coins? It's not like bills, right? Or do you collect bills as well?
Mm.
Like, you don't hear about people collecting bills.
People do. People definitely collect bills.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I believe numismatism covers the collection of currency. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, so what is the largest denomination paper currency, the United States.
I'm just like, I'm shook from $100 coin here. I'm going to be off the rest of this quiz.
Karen says $100,000. Colin says $100,000. You are both off by the same amount, by a factor of 1,000. The largest denomination paper currency the U.S. currently issues is $100.
Aww.
It is a $100 bill.
I've got some of those at home. That's not cool.
That's right. In the past, the U.S. has made larger denomination bills, but it doesn't anymore. I know.
Right.
Just the 100. That's the top one. Now let's go to what is the largest denomination bill that the United States has ever issued?
Oh, man.
I wonder why.
Oh, I'll tell you. I'll tell you later in the quiz.
Oh, okay.
Previews of coming attractions. If you want to know why they only go up to the hundreds now, I will let you know, but just a little bit later. So stay tuned to Good Job Brain. Don't touch that dial. We'll have more currency-related facts later. Once the crew is done answering the question, what is the largest denomination bill the U.S. has ever issued? Karen says $10,000. Colin, again, going with that answer of $100,000. In this case, Colin gets it. It is $100,000.
Yeah.
Now, Karen, the largest denomination ever created for public use was a $10,000 bill in 1918.
Huh.
But they did create in 1934, during the Great Depression, a $100,000 bill. It featured Woodrow Wilson on it. It was never meant to be circulated. It was for transactions between federal banks to make it easier for banks to do transactions with each other. It was then and is now illegal for a private citizen to own a $100,000 bill. So if I owe you money and I hand you a $100,000 bill, you need to call the cops.
Yeah, exactly.
They made some 10,000s for circulation. And again, like, it's very rare for a collector to own one of those today. They're worth much more than $10,000.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
You can find it, but they're still legal tender. Anyway, question number 4. While many women, including Susan B. Anthony and Sacagawea, have appeared in portrait form on U.S. coins,
yes,
only one woman has ever been featured in such a way on a piece of United States paper currency. She was already dead by this point. It was a $1 silver certificate, and it was issued in 1886. Who is it?
Oh.
This is a great piece of trivia. This is a really killer piece of trivia. I will say that this bill is well known, you know, amongst collectors as a piece that they want to have for this reason, you know, it's the only piece of U.S. paper currency where instead of a man, you have a woman in the portrait, you know, area.
Great question.
It has to be a real person.
You have heard of this person?
And deceased.
And they were dead by 1886. Let's see some answers. Let's see. I mean, maybe you're going to get it. I don't know. Colin says Betsy Ross, which is I think that's a solid guess. It's wrong.
Yeah.
But it's a solid guess.
Yeah.
Karen writes down Washington Wife.
I thought about that too. I thought about Martha Washington.
Martha Washington. I don't know if they'd be able to accept Washington Wife on Jeopardy. I think you might have the first name for that. Anyway, the correct answer is Martha Washington.
Oh, I should have put that.
So Karen actually got it right. Congratulations, Karen.
We'll take that as a joint answer since I supplied.
I'm gonna go celebrity Jeopardy rules, and I'm gonna accept that.
Okay, right.
So let's go to another question.
Hold on, I have a question. Oh, was it just commemorating her? Like,
no, it was they just put her on it. Yeah.
Okay.
They were putting a bunch of people on the silver certificates at that point. She was one of them. But they were like, the first woman we'll ever put on one of these bills. Surely we'll put more on later. But no.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah.
Surely it won't be 200 plus years. Yeah.
So of all the United States bills that are out there right now in circulation, okay? Now, we know it goes up to 100, right? And, you know, there's a few others out there, very, very few of the higher of your 500s, 1,000s, 10,000s. But, like, basically, you know, there's not that many of them out there. But of all the U.S. bills out there right now in circulation, which bill is the most common?
Mm. Oh.
Which is the most common? Again, a really good piece of trivia, an interesting thing to know. You can talk about this at parties, you know? Colin writes the 20 and Karen writes the 20. It does seem like that, doesn't it?
We're wrong.
You're always looking for whenever you need a 5 or a 10, you can't really find one. But you go to an ATM and what comes out? 20. The most common bill out there right now in circulation of United States currency is the $100 bill.
No. Who's using them?
There are 18.5 billion hundreds out there. And the second place is 14.3 billion $1 bills.
$1. Okay? Wow.
Here's the catch. The vast majority of those are outside the U.S.
Yeah.
They are held by either foreign governments or criminals, drug dealers, stuff like that. So here's the thing. One of the reasons why we don't make like much higher denomination bills anymore is because if you cap it at 100, it makes it harder, you know, for people to use U.S. currency for illicit means and stuff like that. You have to have a whole suitcase full of hundreds.
Right.
And it's harder to hide than if you had
have a slim little envelope with
right, with $1 million worth of $10,000 bills in it. So something like 80% of the total value of all U.S. currency in circulation is in the form of like $100 bills outside the country.
Wow.
A quick rundown. 14.3 billion singles are out there. 1.5 billion $2 bills are currently in circulation.
Those are in the pockets of our nation's uncles. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. 3.5 billion. Sorry, that's funny. 3.5 billion $5 bills. 2.3 billion 10. 11.5 billion 20. Okay, so there are 20s. Really a ton of those out there. Yeah. 2.5 billion 50s. That's why you never get a 50. And then 18.5 billion $100 bills. But most of the hundreds are outside the country.
Wow.
So, speaking of the rest of the world, let's turn our attention for a moment to world currency. Let me ask you this one. This question is a closest to the pin gets the point. What is the largest denomination of paper currency ever issued around the world?
What is that? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, count your zeros and then tell me what you wrote down.
I'm going to do it in scientific notation here for you.
Both Karen and Colin have written 100 million. Okay, there is a tie. Well, yeah, obviously there's a tie. You're both equidistant from the answer. So
are we wrong?
You're both wrong. You're both low.
Wow.
So, all right. Colin has written what?
2 billion.
2 billion.
Whoops.
Karen has written 10 billion. Okay, good. So there's, I will tell you that congratulations, Karen, by writing 10 billion, you are closer to the pin. So let me tell you the story. The unit of currency that we are talking about is the pengo. This is a short-lived currency of Hungary that was issued for about 20 years after World War I until just after World War II. The pengo experienced what was apparently the worst hyperinflation a currency has ever had, ever. Okay? So I did some extremely back-of-the-envelope math here. I could have gotten this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that when they introduced the pengo right after World War I, it was one pengo was worth about 16 U.S. cents. Okay? That sounds about right. Inflation took hold and it became so worthless that they had to keep issuing higher and higher and higher denominations. But they got to the point where to save the zeros that they're writing down, on the thing, they had to start calculating in a unit known as a milpengo, which is 1 million pengos. And then after that, you know, became too small,
they
had to start calculating and writing the number in units of bill pengos. And you'd think to yourself, oh, a billion pengos, which is true, except at the time in Hungary and in some places in Europe at that time, a billion did not mean 1,000 million. It was the word that they used to mean 1,000,000,000. So a bill pengo was 1 trillion pengos. And before the currency was finally phased out, the highest denomination bill that they ended up printing was valued at 100 million bill pengos. And folks, that is 100 quintillion pengos. So Karen, you said 10 billion. You are closer to the true number, which is 100 quintillion.
Oh my God.
How many zeros is that?
It's a bunch.
A lot.
It's a Pepper X number of zeros, I think. Anyway, that's the pengo.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not even done yet. So keep going. Here's another question. Now move from denomination into physical size.
Oh no.
The largest in terms of physical size legal tender coin ever produced by the US was released in 2019 to commemorate the 50th anniversary of what?
2019 minus 50.
That's a good place to start. Yeah.
Equals carry the one.
Mm-hmm. I've got a good guess.
Colin has a guess.
Well, so I got to 1969. Mm-hmm. Isn't that Summer of Love and also Charles Manson?
You should write down Charles Manson.
Karen. The front is Charles Manson in portrait.
Yeah.
And then the back is Woodstock.
Right.
The stage as seen from the audience. Colin has written something down. What about you, Karen?
Okay.
All right. Let's have some answers. Colin says the moon landing, and Karen, still playing Celebrity Jeopardy, says space.
It's up there. Something happened.
It was not the 50th anniversary of space.
I know what I meant.
I'm gonna give the point to Colin. It was the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. Now, here's the thing. This coin, there's a line of them. But the big one is the silver dollar. It is 3 inches in diameter. So it's pretty big. Now, that's not the coolest thing about this. Actually, this coin is really cool. These coins are curved. They're concave. On the one side, the concave sign, it shows a footprint in the surface of the moon. Like a space boot footprint. And the coin's kind of... And on the convex side, where it's domed, you know that picture that was taken by Neil Armstrong? And it's of Buzz Aldrin, and then in Buzz Aldrin's visor on his spacesuit, you can see Armstrong reflected in the visor and the capsule. The other side of the coin is just the visor. It's the visor. So it comes out and it looks like the visor on the spacesuit has. I looked at this, I'm like, damn,
that
is a
cool
coin. Yeah.
How much one of those sets you back?
How much does
it
cost?
What? The thing is, you can buy the silver half dollars for not so much money. The platinum dollar is like $1,500, basically, to buy the biggest one. It's not bad. It's not crazy.
I mean, it's not a Bill Pengo. Well, you know.
Bill Pengo. And it's the thing that I'm going to tell you about right now in this final question. The largest precious metal coin ever created anywhere. Again, this is legal tender. Not that anyone would actually use it for that. Not that it's legal for you to own it. But it is technically, But the largest, as you know, certified by Guinness Book, precious metal coin ever created was minted in 2012 by the Perth Mint and features what on its face? I'll read the question again. The largest precious metal coin ever created was minted in 2012 by the Perth Mint and features what on its face?
All right. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with what I wrote.
All right. Colin has written Uluru, and Karen has written kangaroo. Karen, again, dominating. It is the kangaroo. Yes. The coin is known as the one-ton Australian kangaroo. It is 1,000 kilograms of pure gold bullion.
Oh.
It is legal tender in Australia. Not that you'd ever, you know, it's massive. It's
rolling
it's
it
just
down
a
the street.
Huge, huge, but it's a coin. They used a hydraulic press to stamp. Like they had to do a lot of research and work to figure out how to actually strike
Whoa.
This coin. But it's got a kangaroo on its face. Its face value is $1 million Australia.
Oh, wow.
It says $1 million on it. The actual value of the gold is $100 million Australian dollars, which is okay. about $63 million US. Yeah.
Where does it live at, like the Australian Federal Reserve, or like where,
you know,
where
what?
Is
they
it?
Took it? They took it on tour a few years back around the world, so you can look at it. It's currently in the Perth Mint. Anyway, there it is.
Woo.
The big money quiz. I think I don't know who won, but you don't get a, there is no monetary prize, so don't worry about it. I remember there was like a magician or something like that at a kid's birthday party that said the kid's going to win big money. And then he took out a massive novelty size $100 bill. You know,
I remember once learning, you know, as a kid, and this just absolutely delighted me, that, I mean, with modern banking, this is not necessarily the case anymore, but that once upon a time, a check could be written, you know, on, as long as it had the right information, it didn't have to be on this nice little neat little rectangular square paper that you get from the bank. Like those giant oversized novelty checks, for instance, if they had actual correct information on them, like a bank routing number and your name on it, was legal to be cashed. Now, whether the bank would put up with you or not, but they couldn't reject you on the grounds that it wasn't legal. They could reject you on the grounds that it was a pain in the butt. But like, yeah, that like those, like the giant, you know, here's your game show check, like could actually go take that to the bank and cash it if it were, if it had the right information on it.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
And we're back. You're listening to Good Job Brain. And this week we're talking about currency. So Chris, how many $1 bills are around currently in circulation?
Oh, as of December 2022, 14.3 billion.
Huh. Wow. 14.3 billion. So here's a fun fact. There was a study done on $1 bills in New York City, and they've identified.
Oh, dear.
This is according to NPR. Each dollar bill in the study carried about 3,000 types of bacteria on its surface. Another study said, also a New York $1, identified a total of 397 bacterial species.
Nice.
We hear this all the time, that one of the grossest things in our lives is money.
Yeah.
Because it passes through hands. It's just so many people have touched it. What makes our money gross? A lot of things. The number one culprit is sebum. S-E-B-U-M. Sebum. It is the oils that your skin releases, the oils on your hands. They're natural. It's what blackheads are made of. Our skin oil keeps building up layer after layer as we handle money.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I prefer to think of it as like, I'm giving you a little bit of myself when I give you my money. It's...
But the euros, the European Central Bank, they know that sebum or our oil is a problem. So they actually use a sebum repellent coating on the euro notes.
Interesting.
A lot of the currencies out there now like have what they call polymer notes, which is like plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
But our US dollars are still made of organic materials. Sure, there are a lot of microbes. But the microbes aren't really growing or thriving on banknotes. Cash is really easy for germs to settle on, but typically they don't have the right temperature or the right conditions to allow microbes to proliferate, reproduce, and grow. So you're not seeing like colonies blooming on your dollar. But it's still gross, so please just wash your hands. That's number one, is wash your hands. But what makes money dirty to a point of concern is constant moisture. Because constant moisture will make a good environment for bacteria to thrive, mold, mildew, and eventually it will become a health hazard. But I know what you're thinking. Who's keeping their money in water? Yeah. Turns out it's a very common thing for money to become contaminated due to natural disasters. It's very, very common. You think of storms flooding basements, roofs being destroyed and rain coming into the attic. And on a larger scale, if you think about Hurricane Katrina, no one could get into the Federal Reserve, the Atlanta branch in New Orleans for weeks. And so all of their vaults and all of their stuff, they're below sea level, was sitting in water, gross water, for a really, really long time. Some storms could go through towns and the towns would end up with like waterlogged, moldy, smelly money from all the businesses, all the buildings. And so what do you do? What do you do if you have contaminated money? Obviously, there are other specifications for contamination. There actually is an official list. And I'll tell you what contamination means. Currency may be contaminated due to prolonged exposure to water and liquids, exposure to blood, urine, feces, or other bodily fluids, exposure to sewage, exposure to any chemical, liquid, or foreign substance that may pose a health hazard.
Exposure to Pepper X.
And so what do you do with contaminated money? You have to dispose the contaminated money at a Federal Reserve Bank. And they have very specific directions on what to do. They tell you to group the denominations in a certain way. You have to bag it a certain way. You have to double bag it. You have to label it. And then they will basically credit you with the amount of money that you turn in, essentially. You do not put money in the washing machine and dryer. It's I don't know why people think this is a thing, maybe because we call it money laundering, but please do not actually launder your money. It ruins the bills. The hot water can damage the security features. The detergents used could like affect the coating and different chemicals that's in the bills, including the counterfeit marker. You know, you go to the supermarket and then you give them like $100 bill. They use the counterfeit pen.
Oh, the little pen.
So the detergent might render that, might give you a false positive. Banks, they will shred your washed money, your useless washed money, So do not wash your money. You know, they say this happens a lot when you're cleaning out like a house of, you know, like a deceased family member or someone, you know, and it's just something that's sitting in the basement for like a really long time. And it's like
magazines and photos. It can happen to them. It could happen to currency too. It makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Or if they died on the money, which is very common.
Pile of money. Yes. And that is contamination.
Yeah. That's contaminated.
So there is a cleaning process where they won't damage the notes. It's like high pressure heated carbon dioxide. It's almost like dry cleaning the bills, but that's like an industrial service. It's like, you're not going to do that at home. But most of the time, contaminated dollars, they just get shredded and they get destroyed.
They're just not worth the effort.
So I mentioned earlier that the US bill is made out of organic materials, which kind of in a way is good because it can decompose. The Salt Lake branch of the San Francisco Federal Reserve, the shreds are burnt to cure cement. They use it.
Ah.
They find a new life. And my favorite, and I'll end it with that, is my favorite way is back to the New Orleans branch of the Atlanta Reserve. The cash shreds are turned into compost for gardens. How cool is that?
I once found, when I was in New York, a $20 bill. It's out on the street, you know, and it was right on the curb. It was, in fact, in about 2 to 3 inches of water, liquid, let's say. And I was walking with my wife, and I stopped. And I was like, wow, that's a $20 bill sitting there just in this lid. It's so we were a couple blocks from our friend's house. I'm like, I'm going to get this $20 bill. And I reached in.
No.
Listeners. I did. I reached in and it was, I held it. Mm-hmm. It was complete. And I kind of just carried it at arm's length to our friend's house. We walked in. I need to use your sink. I need to wash this bill that I found in the gutter outside. But yeah, that was my, and I tried not to think about it too much after that, but that was my grossest, but also highest street money find. So
nice. Yeah. But you spent it, I mean, right away, right? Like you've tried to pawn it off onto somebody else's.
I tried to put it right back into the New York economy as fast as I could.
Yeah.
Well, after we decide on a show topic, as I was falling asleep that night, it hit me like a flash. I was like, I know what I'm going to talk about. I need to talk about the biggest money there is. I mean, money that is literally as tall as a person and weighs as much as a car.
What?
A few years ago, I first heard about Ray Stones, this R-A-I Stones. This was one of those things where as soon as I learned about it, I started seeing references to it everywhere. Mm. You know, I don't know if I was just blind to the references before.
Bader Minoff.
Yeah, it is. Yep, exactly. Ray Stones are a unique form of money, and they are part of the traditions of the native people living in the very small Micronesian island of Yap, Y-A-P, the Yapese people. Many generations ago, hundreds of years, the Yapese people started using ray stones as stores of value. This continued up into the 20th century. Let me describe to you a ray stone.
Yeah.
Okay, so a ray stone is generally circular. It is carved from a single block of a particular type of limestone. Ray stones were commonly 6 feet wide, 8 feet wide. The largest ray stone we know of today is 12 feet in diameter. It is 20 inches thick and weighs almost 9,000 pounds.
So it doesn't move.
It doesn't move much. So the ray stones have a hole in the middle. So notably, this is one of the defining features of the classic ray stone. It has a hole in the middle. At least theoretically, make them easier to transport, either by putting a log or some bamboo through the middle, or even just kind of rolling it like a wheel, on an axle. So ray stones, as I say, they're carved from a very specific type of limestone, not on Yap. This limestone is not found on Yap. It is found in neighboring islands. It is found in neighboring islands. Most of the ray stones are made from limestone quarried on the island of Palau. Now,
Oh,
Chris's ear is perking up a little bit. Palau, of course, is known to most Americans as a setting for season 10, I believe, going way back, of Survivor. Yes, Survivor Palau. It is a very picturesque island. To mint a raystone, or create a raystone, as it were, the Yappies people would sail out on boats a few hundred miles to Palau. It's not right there. They would quarry the rock on site. They would carve it up, get the hole in the middle, polish it, get it looking really nice, and then transport them back to Yap. If your family could claim even one large raystone, you were probably doing pretty well. If you could have one sort of person-sized raystone. In every village, they would have an area, like a town square, a market area, maybe something like that, some central public area where the large raystones would live. And it was almost like a bank. And everyone knows whose raystone is whose. Every stone has a history attached to it. Every stone becomes part of the oral history and tradition of that village. And everyone in the village knows the lineage of each stone, who traded it to whom for what it was acquiring, all of that, even though the stones don't move from the central area. This is where it's kind of become sort of this example of what is money and what do we mean when we talk about stored value, that if I'm trading a raystone for something, and now let me pause a moment to emphasize, you're not trading a 6-foot raystone for, you know, some eggs. Like these, as I say, these were for wealthy families, wealthy clans, chiefs. If you had these really large ones, you would, for the most part, you wouldn't spend them the same way that, you know, today, for the most part, super wealthy families don't spend most of their money. But if you were to use a raystone for an exchange, it might be like a dowry in, you know, like a between two high profile families, or, you know, it might be to seal a political alliance or really big ticket purchases. These giant raystones don't need to move anywhere. If I'm in family A and I enter into an agreement to, you know, buy a huge parcel of property from family B, we just say like, okay, that raystone there, that's yours now. And yours I have this now. Property. And everybody in the village knows it. And it just sort of gets sort of tacked on to the oral history of the of this raystone. It's like, oh, it used to be family A and now family B, you know. So they started popping up a lot, you know, a few years ago, several years ago now, in the context of the rise of cryptocurrency, among other things, sort of as an example of a currency that carries its own history with it, which is, yeah, it's interesting twist on like a ledger, you know. But it is in fact true that each of these massive raystones was known to everyone and had its own verifiable history. You couldn't falsify and say like, oh yeah, that one's mine, I'm going to trade it for you. They're like, no, it's not. Everyone knows that belongs to the other family. Everyone knows. Yeah. That's right. And it's, you know, weighs 9,000 pounds. It's not like you're going to abscond with it in the middle of the night. But also just popping up in the context of what does value mean on an international level? You know, countries will sometimes make huge payments to each other in the form of large sums of gold. The gold doesn't go anywhere. The gold sits in the same bank. It's just transferring ownership. It's like, okay, well, this gold used to belong to France and now it belongs to England, even if it may not actually move. And that's really not that different conceptually from the raystones sitting in the public square and just kind of transferring ownership over time. The people who study the Yappies culture and history believe this story. So according to the tradition, as the story goes, there was a crew bringing back one of these giant raystones back to Yap from Palau, probably, and the raft or the boat with the coin sank. They were in a storm. And, you know, I mean, as I say, long trip. The coin sank down to the bottom of the water, bottom of the ocean there. But the crew made it back to Yap, let everybody know what happened, and everyone collectively agreed, well, okay, the coin was quarried and carved. It's worth this much. So even though it's still sitting on the bottom of the ocean, we're going to count it. That's right. We're going to count it. And the family that it belonged to could use it to settle debts. It transferred ownership many times over the generations. Even though no one ever saw it on Yap, They all had this mental accounting and agreement that this Raystone sitting at the bottom of the ocean is still legal tender in our village, and we can trade it even though it's sitting there and is never, ever, ever, ever going to be moved. And like that, I think, is the really cool kind of captivating sense of the question, what is money? What does money really mean? And it kind of sets you off into sort of those, you know, philosophical tangents here if you think about it for too long.
Big rock donuts, man.
Big rock donuts. I encourage you to go online and look at pictures of the Raystones. They're very cool. They look like giant, flat rock donuts. I mean, there's no other way to put it. To the tune of Rock Lobster. Yeah. Rock donuts.
Oh my God.
What?
We know each other too long.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages, teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
One last segment. I have a quiz and I would like you two to work together. This quiz is called Chump Change. Huh. Chump Change. I have here 10 trivia questions, just general trivia, but every answer or part of the answer, every answer is also name of a currency.
Okay.
What you have to do is answer the trivia question and also tell me what country has this currency.
All right.
Okay, we'll jump in and you'll get the rules very, very quickly. All right, question number one, work together, Chris and Colin. This publishing company initially focused on printing tickets and timetables for Chicago's railroad industry. Shortly after that, they started printing maps. This publishing company initially focused on printing tickets and timetables for Chicago's railroad industry. And then soon after, they started printing maps.
Who does? I mean, I guess AAA does maps, so it's not that. Rand McNally? Like, who does?
Every answer or part of the answer of these questions is also a name of a currency.
Rand McNally.
The Rand?
The Rand, okay. Which is the currency of what country?
Denmark? No.
Mm-mm. Wrong continent.
South Africa. Africa?
South Africa, South African Rand. Yes, yeah. Rand McNally. Okay, now we know format.
Okay, yeah. Got it now.
A hankering or a longing for something.
Aha.
Yes.
A yen.
Correct, a yen, which is the currency of what nation?
Japan.
Next question. This 1962 film about the American frontier is considered to be one of Hollywood's greatest epics. It stars Spencer Tracy, Jimmy Stewart, Henry Fonda, Debbie Reynolds, Gregory Peck, and John Wayne. This movie and the stars were kind of before our time, but even we know that these are big names. What movie is this? Again, this 1962 film about the American frontier is considered to be one of Hollywood's greatest epics. It stars Spencer Tracy, Jimmy Stewart, Henry Fonda, Debbie Reynolds, Gregory Peck, and John Wayne.
I think it's How the West Was Won, as in the won, as in the unit of currency of what, South Korea?
Nice. The W-O-N.
Yeah. At very first, I was like a fistful of dollars, but I'm like, no. Aaron would not do that. Yeah,
how the West was won.
Won.
North Korea also uses the won, but they use the North Korean won, which is a different currency than the South Korean won. All right, next question. This is a unit of measure that's 1/8 fluid ounce, usually for whiskey.
What is that? Is that a dram? How much? What is a?
It is a dram.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Dram is the currency of Armenia.
Did not know that. Absolutely.
Armenian dram.
The Armenian dram.
All right. Next one. I'll tell you first. This is Uzbekistan currency.
Okay.
In math, what does the Greek letter sigma represent?
Sum, right?
It is right? the sum. S-U-M.
Nice.
Okay. In 2003, Manchester United made big news when they transferred good old David Beckham to what team?
Oh.
Again, in 2003, Manchester United made big news when they transferred David Beckham to what team?
And what has a currency in it?
Yeah.
Liverpool, the Chudley Cannons.
It's not a British team.
Oh, wait, was this when he came to the U.S.? Was this when he came to...
No, is when he got sold to Real Madrid.
Okay, the Real. Okay.
The Real is the currency of Brazil. The Brazilian Real.
Yeah, I was thinking like British teams. Okay.
A lot of nations also use some sort of version of the word Real or R-I-A-L-R-E-A-L.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next question. What is the name for a cold smoked whole herring split lengthwise in half, commonly eaten at breakfast?
A breakfast herring?
It's not lox, because lox is usually
salmon.
Salmon.
This is more of a UK thing.
Okay.
I'm sure when you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I know.
I'm looking for... Kipper.
Oh,
Kipper. The Kip, K-I-P. The Kip is the currency of Laos.
Okay, the Kip. All right,
next question. What music producer and songwriter was behind Rehab by Amy Winehouse, Shallow with Lady Gaga, which also he won an Oscar for, and Uptown Funk with Bruno Mars?
It's Mark Ronson, I think, right? Is that?
Oh, the Mark.
Mark Ronson.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the Mark. The Mark, and clarification, the Mark, the German Mark, is no longer in use. The Mark still appears as what is called the convertible Mark, Bosnia and Herzegovina. We remember the pre-Euro days.
I definitely grew up. Yeah, Deutschmark. I remember like that's just
Deutschmark, the Italian lira.
Mm.
All right, last question. This is the time unit that describes a day on Mars. So one rotation around the sun.
Oh, doesn't they call it a sol?
Oh, yeah.
S-O-L. Also the currency of Peru.
Oh,
the Peruvian sol. S-O. It sounds like a fish.
Chilean
sea bass. Peruvian sol. S-O-L. Yes, the Peruvian sol. All right.
Ooh.
That was hard. I'm sorry.
That was good. It was a good quiz.
How the West was won.
All right, and that's our show. Thank you all for joining me, and thank you, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about rock donuts. How funny, the last episode I said rock milk. Hope you learned stuff about Ray Stones, about the big kangaroo coin, and how to get rid of contaminated money. You can find us on all major podcast apps and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like Tumble, the science podcast for kids, History Tea Time, and Triviality. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
It sounds like it's talking.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
Art, water, tar.
Traffic.
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.